Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, for healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Welcome 2020. Well, gang, what are we going to do for 2020? What are we going to do for our health? There's a lot of energy out there around health. There always is, that first month in January before we figure out the price we have to pay to get healthy. But for now, everybody's on the health kick. We have the weather to support it. So how are we going to manage your health for this year? First of all, what's the goal? Do you want to get rid of a symptom? Do you have a major health concern? Are you fine, but you just want to feel better than you already feel? You know my vantage point on this. Health is a tour de force. It's an education. It's knowing how to hit the big things instead of focusing on the little things. It's the fundamentals. What do we mean by that? Well, you know the fundamentals, but you don't know how to measure gain in the fundamentals. The fundamentals of health, you're going to change your diet. What are you going to do around that dietary change? Here's one thing you write down for 2020. You regulate your blood sugar. You regulate your blood sugar and you understand what it is to be ketogenic. Now that's a feeling. There's no cookbook manual to that. You can buy books, right? The words paleo, it's on the tip of everybody's tongue. But I got to tell you the truth. Ketogenic is an experience. It's a way the body feels. And if you don't guide yourself to play to that feel, you won't succeed at it. That's a big one. You see this with weight loss all the time. I watch people blend their proteins and to some extent their carbs to have this so-called ketogenic experience. But because they can't feel it in their body, they don't know the experience of it, they never get there. And they never burn fat. Here's one thing you got to do to get ketogenic. You've got to learn to measure blood sugar. And your goal is to live with your blood sugar under 100, preferably between 80 and 90, and still feel you have lots of energy. If you can do that, then you get to the next step. And the next step is you have to feel yourself. Change the way you feel. Now, how do you describe that? Well, you really can't. How do you describe the way someone feels when their blood sugar is running at 120 or 130 all day, which is way too high, versus 80 or 90? And you can attach a lot of words to the difference in how you'll feel, but the truth is, you got to do it, and then you'll know it. Now, here's the good piece. When you do it, you will know it. Anybody that's living ketogenically will say it's a different feeling, and they'll try to describe it, and someone that's not doesn't understand it. So if you think you're ketogenic and something doesn't go off inside you like a light bulb, like, well, I feel different this way, it hasn't happened to you. I don't care what you're doing with your diet or how many paleo books you read or what you think you're eating. I'll give you an example. If you're overweight, if you're 30, 40, 50 pounds overweight, because of insulin resistance, easily you can be paleo, but because the weight's there, you're insulin resistant and you're not ketogenic, even though you're writing the books on it, even though you're reading the books on it. If you're not exercising, you may not be ketogenic. even though you're eating a certain way. And of course, animal protein spikes insulin. That's something a lot of people don't know. There's a difference between measuring your glucose and measuring your insulin. Animal protein will bring insulin up. And people that are into paleo that do a lot of meat, because that's kind of the way they think paleo is, even though that's debatable. But those of us that think that will find in the end, especially if they're a little overweight, that the combination of the weight and the meat keeps their insulin up too long, and you don't get the ketogenic effect. You don't take your essential fatty acids to the liver to convert to ketones if you're insulin resistant. So you see what I mean? For 2020, what you have to do is go ketogenic. That's a feeling in your body. One really good way to measure that, to begin, is to bring your blood sugar consistently 1 hour after you eat. No matter what you eat, consistently after you eat, that blood sugar's got to be floating in that 80-90 range. You may need to exercise to get that to happen. You may need to lose weight to get that to happen. You may need to eat less meat to get that to happen. I know people that are ketogenic eating oatmeal for breakfast. I was with a guy named Lee a few years ago. And for breakfast, this athlete, Lee, had 2 large bowls of oatmeal with honey every morning. And I sat there and measured his blood sugar before he ate, while he ate, after he ate. It stayed a solid 80. And he swore, if I don't eat the oatmeal, I don't feel good. I don't perform well. And he swore by the oatmeal, and I said, let's see what it does to your body. And he was a solid 80. Straight through the experience and after the experience. Guess what? He's ketogenic. Your body is going to get the cues to burn fat, to send it to the liver, the essential fats, essential fatty acids to the liver that you dissolve wherever it's amassed in your body. The liver is going to flip it into a ketone. The ketone's going to drive into whatever cell it needs to, your muscle, your brain, your heart. You're going to make your ATP just as well. Maybe not quite as fast, but largely just as well. Well, wow, now you're ketogenic on oatmeal. You see, that's the reality of it. It's what they don't tell you. And then you've got lots of people following the book, I mean to the T, and they're still not there. So it's a feeling. Start by bringing the blood sugar down low, 80-90. Play with your foods to make that happen. I didn't say 50-60. I didn't say get sick. And when you get it that way, 80-90 sustained, search yourself. Search yourself internally for the feeling. It's a centering. It's a vibrance. I could give you a lot of words, but what good is it? You've got to go into that experiment and listen to yourself, and you'll shift, and you'll know when you shift, and it'll correlate with your blood sugar. And then you can come out of a ketogenic experience by going back to the garbage, and then you can go back to the ketogenic experience, however you do it. And if you do that, you go in and out, you'll start to memorize what it is to live in a mild form of ketosis. That's number one on your list. Go ketogenic. Balance the blood sugar. Notice I didn't say give up carbs. Notice I didn't say eat more meat. Notice I might have said stay with your carbs, just lose weight. There's lots of varieties. You catch the difference. You might be looking for cookbook instead of the experience. Health is an experience. It's not following rules out of a cookbook. So there's number one. All right, let's get to number two. Your sleep. Right. We all know it. I know we all know it. And I'm not going to say, but do we all do it? I'm not going to bother with that. Want to give you some insight. An insight into sleep, again, requires an experience. We're going to come back to this. And so what I want you to do to get that experience of sleep is play with the variables to optimize it until you really have it. And the experience you're supposed to have is when you wake up and your brain is clear and you have to get out of bed. If that's 4 hours, it's 4 hours. If it's 6 hours, it's 6 hours. If it's 8 hours, it's 8 hours. If it's 12 hours, it's 12 hours. If it changes day to day, it changes day to day. Again, I'm going to call you to the experience of health instead of the cookbook. One athlete, one weekend athlete, one individual with a New Year's resolution to drop weight that hasn't exercised in weeks may at some phase during the week, because you're back in the game, lifting weights, running hills, running track, playing tennis, whatever your trip is, you may need 9 to 10 to 11 hours. You may get up after 7 straight hours and have that feeling like, I need another 2 or 3. You got to take advantage of that. That's your body. When you're on the other side of the hump, after you've dropped a little weight, after you're starting to get in shape, when you start making breakthroughs, you may get up after 5 hours and go, I have to get up. Again, it's not that you sleep, it's that you sleep better. Sleeping better, again, is that feeling. What feeling? The feeling of opening your eyes and having to get up out of bed. And you're going to have to play around with the variables. One thing I insist you do is just don't mess your head up about the lack of practicality. Don't mess your head up because you can't do this all the time. What I want you to do is go somewhere where you get every sensibility that you're going to sleep. Spend the money. If it's for one day, do it. Surround yourself in natural material. It could be a cabin somewhere in the woods. It could be a yurt. It could be a tent. It could be a beachfront. It could be a bamboo hut. It could be a bed and breakfast built 100 years ago. However you get there, I suggest you figure out a way for you, not all the time, to resonate with nature. To resonate. What do I mean? I mean to experience the experience of having the earth pull you into its core and black you out for 6 to 7 to 8 to 9 hours. You have to be able to identify that experience. I'm dead serious. People can't get there because they can't identify the experience. I'm giving you a way to identify the experience. If you have to get radical to identify the experience and then go back to your one-room studio apartment that's way too noisy, fine. Don't worry about that. The key here is that you identify it and take it from there. We're not starting gangbuster. I just need you to have one radical experience. The radical experience of going ketogenic. The radical experience of real sleep. And what we do, and what I'm objecting to, and what I suggest you don't do, is do all of these half-falutin, cliff note versions of improving your sleep, of improving your blood sugar. Take berberine to regulate your blood sugar. Buy yourself a better bed. Go out and get your blackout curtains. See, this is what I'm saying you shouldn't do. Why? Because you have no experience to reference to. After you do those things, you still won't know if you've done them right. This is where we're making the mistake. Don't make this mistake for 2020. Give yourself the real experience. I'll give you an example. Food. You're not sure if you like sushi, ceviche, tartare, carpaccio, raw fish, raw beef. You're not sure. So what do? You go over to the tuna poke place that gives you $5.95 all-you-can-eat buffet. And you go in there real hungry, and you stuff it all down your throat. You fill your belly, and you're so glad because you're figuring, I'm doing something healthy, and I'm on my way, and then you vomit for the next 6 hours. And the reason you vomit is because you were eating garbage. You decided to get your feet wet, and so you did, except you jumped into the wrong puddle of mud. Because that's exactly how you get poisoned. You were looking for an experience and you made sure you didn't get it. And what did you conclude? I can't do this raw fish. That's so unfortunate. What you're supposed to do is take the time, and as I said, even if you cannot eat it every day because it's cost prohibitive, what I want you to do is have one real experience. These experiences always require a little more devotion. They may require a little more money. You may say, I can't go and buy yellowtail belly. I can't have fatty tuna. I can't go to Asanabu. I can't go to Bluefin here down in the Southland. I can't go to Naboo, although I don't think Naboo is so great, but it's in that upper echelon. I can't go to get a high-end meal because I can't afford it. Great, but you have to do it once to understand what we mean by sushi. If you give yourself the experience and you give yourself the result, you give yourself the benefit because you got it, then the wheels start turning. That's how you turn 2020 into something. You give yourself authentic experience rather than giving yourself a cookbook cliff note version that you're never going to repeat because it doesn't do anything. Number one, the blood sugar and the ketogenic experience. Number two, the sleep experience. Number three, the food experience. Whatever you don't think you like, go get it prepared. Top notch. And then make up your mind. Now let's proceed along the line for 2020. Yoga. Going to go after yoga. So important to go after yoga. I'm still waiting. And I may have to engage it myself. Because I've waited too long. For some company, for some person, for somebody to start doing real yoga. Not the garbage you're doing at Yoga Works. Oops, can't say that. These studios are not giving you yoga. They don't know themselves. It may not be cost effective, and they're not telling you. So let me get you tracked into the yoga experience. Not the garbage that's out there. Almost invariably, you have to have designed for you in the yoga room, wherever that yoga room is, and we'll get to that in a second, but wherever that yoga room is, you have to have designed for you the yoga room that you can move your body in without hurting yourself, thus well-designed, thus maybe under supervision, so that in conjunction with your physical movement and the heat, the steam, the moisture in the room, you start sweating on the profuse side. And if you don't sweat, because you never sweat, because you can't sweat, it's another conversation. But those of you who are somewhat in the zone of, yeah, I can sweat, you must sweat in a yoga class in the first piece of it by moving your body vigorously. Ashtanga is a classic style of yoga that makes sure you will move your body and sweat. Got to make sure you don't get hurt. Got to talk to the teacher that usually knows nothing. You got to modify it one way or the other. Your own common sense, a teacher, a private trainer that designs for you the yoga, and then you take it to a classroom and modify it and tell the teacher, I'll get hurt if I don't modify it. You see, it's all these little variations you can employ. But what you've got to do, again, my point. You got to hit the critical mass point when you eat sushi, the critical mass point when you sleep, the critical mass point when you do anything. So what's the critical mass point in yoga? You got to sweat in that 9,500, 105 degree moist heat. And that's the first half of the class. The second half of the class is you have to go into the poses contoured to you. In other words, where you have to work, not where your neighbor has to work, not where your significant other has to work, but where you have to work. Scalenes, adductors, posterior cervicals, pec minor, thoracic ribcage, groin, quads, hamstrings, behind the knee, behind the Achilles tendon, the sole of the foot. There's so many angles on this. You have to know where that is for you. In heat, after you've warmed your body up. This is the yoga experience. This is not, oh yeah, yoga. Yeah, I got you. I watched the video. There's this really nice woman named Jill. And I watch her on the video. And I do it. Yeah, I get it. No, I go to Yoga Works. You see, you're getting ripped off. Because you're not having the experience. You have no reference point. You're not being set up to at least have the possibility of a reference point. So here's the yoga. So now it's the second half of the class. And in that second half of the class, what you're going to do is go into the pose that's right for you. And because you warmed up in the first half, you're going to stretch yourself a little further. You're going to say, you know, there's something about warming up and sweating that lets me go a little further. And then, under supervision, God willing, the teacher, or the teacher you pay at your house, if you can set this up, is going to push you a little further than you thought you could be pushed, because they have knowledge of the body. And you're going to go, wow, I released my tension in places I didn't know I had tension. And I know it has something to do with the fact that I warmed my body up. And I know it has something to do with the fact that I worked out in a room that was over 100 degrees. Oh yeah, hot yoga. Wrong hot yoga. Hot yoga is boot camp. Hot yoga is military. Wrong Bikram. Bikram's all contraction. Bikram doesn't take the time for you to find your pockets. Wrong yin yoga, because you don't really heat your body up. Wrong Iyengar, because you're spending so much time focusing on nonsense instead of giving the client a sense of where his tension is. You're playing around with whether the angles are all correct, the alignment is off. Bring your protractors. Become an architect. This is not what it's about. That's what Iyengar senses. I could go on for hours. Again, my point. Yoga is an experience. Sleep's an experience. Sushi's an experience. Fixing your blood sugar so you have a ketogenic experience. For 2020, you have to have experience. Now, straighttalk.cc, the 50 natural laws of health. You know what they're all about? Experience. The 50 laws of natural health. Go on the website. Doesn't cost you anything. Take a look. Because they're designed, the laws are designed to guide you to an experience. My classes, one of which we're going to do January 26, Sunday, 11 to 6, here at the office, is for the experience of the hypothalamic, pineal, and stem cell axes, is to try to give you the experience of contacting these places. So in short, happy 2020. Make 2020 a health experience. It's the senses that deliver, not the intellect. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.
Okay, part two. Welcome. The experience of health. That's the concept. That's what we're not getting. Every single thing you do for your health has to be measured by your ability to discern the experience of it. And how do you do that if you've never had the experience? Right, that's a problem. It is a problem. But that problem and not solving the problem causes people to go on for years and years. I am not kidding you. Years and years spinning around in circles because they think they're doing something they're not doing, right? Imagine the first time those fighters back in the 90s got hit by Mike Tyson. Right, Mike Tyson. You know Mike Tyson. Gus D'Amato taught an extremely talented young man how to punch. And Tyson took to it. How many people did you see get punched to smithereens? And on the other side of consciousness, those people must have sat down and said, man, I thought I knew what boxing was about. I thought I knew what getting hit was about. I thought I knew what punching was about until they met Mike Tyson. And this is the thing. This is happening in health all the time. I started with blood sugar and the ketogenic experience. I went on to sleep. I went on to what it's like when you first start getting into the more radical ways of feeding yourself, like with raw fish, with sushi. I got into yoga. I don't know which to put at the top of the list. I really don't. Yoga is pathetic. And now I can say it off air. I mean, come on, Yoga Works, Bikram. Nobody knows what they're doing. Why? You know, you don't want to say people think about money and it's weighed against quality. You don't want to say that, and I wouldn't say that. I'd say Chuck Miller Mati Israti, God rest her soul. They started Yoga Works. I used to go to Yoga Works back in the early 90s. Brian Kest was there. Rod Stryker was there. Eric Schiffman was there. Leslie Bogart was there. Chuck Miller owned it and taught. You had some real yogics that understood it. And then Chuck and Mati sold it for $5 million to corporate, took their money, went to Hawaii, disappeared. Understandable. And once the corporation takes over, it's downhill. It's the story of life, isn't it? Bigger's better? I don't think so. But that's only part of it. The other part of it is the people that run YogaWorks don't know what yoga is. Now, I see this across the board. Bikram. First of all, when you're in a Bikram class, it's dry heat. Dry heat's good. It moves the lymph. And the sweat you sweat is a poisonous sweat. Different than moist heat. But dry heat doesn't make you flexible. Moist heat makes you flexible because the tendons and connective tissue are largely water. And in humidity, you're not pulling out as much water, or at least you're exchanging water. The net effect of it is that the moist heat will work the tendon. The dry heat, you're not going to get so flexible in dry heat. But Bikram makes it worse. He doesn't really stretch people. Yeah, there's a few stretches in there, but it's a muscular workout with no time devoted to sitting, meditating into the pose, relaxing into the pose, finding shavasana into the pose. Taking the time to let gravity do the work. No, that's not Bikram. Iyengar, you got so many props in all parts of your body in an Iyengar class, with so much attention giving to, is your body in the right position? You don't have an opportunity to feel the freedom in your body in the pose. I could go on and on. Power yoga is like boot camp. Hot 8 yoga is boot camp yoga. Yeah, they got the heat, the humidity, and all the yogas are done in Faraday cages. It's a concrete floor, and right there, you can't use the earth's currents. You know that. You stretch barefoot at the beach, you stretch barefoot at the park. Somehow you feel like you're getting a much better stretch than if you stretch in a yoga class. Yes, you do. Why? The currents, the telluric currents, the Schumann waves, all of which you don't get in these Faraday cages. And they're calling it yoga? Are you kidding me? Yeah, the straight talk. Straight talk on health. So it's like I said, listen to the first half for the other pieces, but for the yoga piece, I'm going into it again. The word is release. And you will have more experience approaching release when you are in a room and you have sweat profusely. And that room has a temperature of about 100 to 105 degrees of humid heat, even though the windows are open, because you need oxygen. That's another thing. They make it hot, suck the oxygen out. Dumb. They make it hot, suck the humidity out. Dumb. They don't make it out. They don't make it hot. It's 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and it's freezing out. I mean, freezing only because you're in L.A., used to L.A. temperatures, right? You think 40 degrees is freezing. But nonetheless, you're cold. You're a female. You're 40. You're menstruating. You're cold because you're menstruating. And then the room is only 40 or 50 degrees. Nobody wants to heat it up. Another big mistake they make. Or they heat it up and it's dry. Or they heat it up. They put you in the room. You have every chance of loosening up, and then they make it boot camp.
You never get a chance to slow down, inhabit the pose, explore. Now, what about the supervision you're supposed to be under? Yeah, I got it. She's 20. She's just out of college. She wants to save the world. She's got gratitude. She's got so much gratitude. It's all about love. And you're 40 or 50 or 60 with the full catastrophes. You're trying to do something with your life. You understand the difference between fantasy and reality. And she or he are trying to get you to have an experience of release. Well, they can afford to make $10 an hour. You have a wife or a husband and 2 to 3 to 4 kids. You have to make a real salary. But they're so nice. It's better than nothing. But it's not the experience. Now, if you're sick, if you have a health concern, if you really have something you got to deal with, you got a problem now, because everywhere you look, all you're dealing with is facade, cliff notes. How are you going to dig yourself out of a hole doing cliff notes? All right, so I'm coming from the negative, but I'm telling you a lot of things you need to do. Yoga needs to be done. First piece, like I said on the show, a way for you to move your body without hurting yourself, to get the heart rate up a little in conjunction with the heat, to sweat profusely. If you can find Ashtanga done correctly, this will approximate it. You could get a little closer. If you have a home, and in the home you have a spare room, and in the spare room you can turn the heat up, or buy a humidifier and pump steam into the room. Yeah, the walls are going to get wet, but it's your spare room. Put an ad in Craigslist. Ashtanga teacher, 10 years experience minimum. And make them design for you some sort of a program where you really move your body with some degree of speed or intensity without hurting yourself, such that you're going to be sweating profusely. Make sure you can get air into the room when you need it. And get to the infamous cool down phase. You got to get to the cool down phase. What do I mean by the cool down phase? That's after you warmed up because you moved your body and sweat a lot because the room's so humid hot. And now the windows are open. It's cooling down. You're cooling down. That's when you're flexible. That's when the second half starts, and that's where you make the gains. That's where you want somebody to push your body a little bit, or you want to have the experience of, I don't know what it is, but I feel like I'm getting some length here. Where? Show 244, 243. I did it a few years ago. I put the pictures on. The Achilles tendon, the sole of the foot, the belly of the calf, behind the knee. The crest of the semitendinosus and membranosus in the hamstring. The quadricep, all parts of the quadricep, the line in the front from the groin to the toe, the line in the back from the heel all the way up to the butt, all the angles on those lines. It's an exploration. Everyone's different. You see, the teacher is supposed to teach you how to explore your tension. Explore it. The teacher is supposed to give you a window, an opportunity to find your tension. Not hustle you in and out like sardine. Bikram, Yoga Works, gotta turn the profit. You realize these classes don't even give you
the respect of an extra 15 minutes freestyle in between each class. Because what are they going to lose? One class a day? Is that how tight it is? Is Bikram and Yoga Works not making enough dough? Couldn't we have a class and then in between classes a half an hour with the teacher to go freestyle, to explore? No. No, it doesn't work that way. Why? Well, number one, they don't even think it's necessary. That's how bad it is. I have people designing homes and taking plots of property in their yards to construct their own yoga rooms made of wood. Do it in a yurt. Do it in wood. Build your own stuff. This is why everyone's leaving the cities. 10, 15, 20 years, this area down here, all of it, it's all going to become a ghost town. We're in the second wave of immigration. I'm not talking about the immigration out of here, into here, where my grandparents, maybe your grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-great-great parents came from. I'm talking about the immigration from the cities of California, especially the cities of the United States, into the rural areas. Why? It's become insane. How can you have health in this? Well, if you got to be here and you have a yard, you can get it anywhere, but you have to have the education. It's more challenging, perhaps, but if you understand, well, then you know what you're missing. So that's a bit on yoga for you. Now let's get to some other concepts. Okay? EMF. We got to deal with EMF. What does that mean? Oh, yeah, I wear a computer protector. Wrong. Oh, what does it mean? I turned off the Wi-Fi. Wrong. What does it mean? I try to take less jets. Wrong. None of that's about the experience. What you've got to do is give yourself the experience of EMF, which if you sit at a computer all week, you've got. Which if you fly, you've got. Which if you live in an apartment building, you've got. Almost everybody's frying themselves in EMF. And I'm not going to bore you with the threats of radiation. You already know. If you don't, look it up. Not the scope of this show. Not worth it. What's worth it is understanding how to know when you've done something about it. Now listen to my phrasing there. How to know when you've done something about it. How to know. Not what to know to do, but how to know when you think you did something if you accomplished the task. Let me explain why I word it this way. Remember the Q-Link? How many of you remember the Q-Link, right? Little medallion you put on your chest and protects you. And there's all sorts of gizmos like this. You plug them into you plug them into the wall. How do you know? Oh, I know. Hey, my name's Jack. I know. Minute I plug it into the wall, I feel good. If I take it out of the wall, if I don't wear my Q-Link, I'm sick. Yeah. Jack, I got a little game for you to play. We're going to give you a Q-Link, but it's not going to be a Q-Link. And you're going to tell me whether you get the real Q-Link or you don't. You know what happens to Jack if you test him like that? We're going to give him that rock. It drains out the radiation. And then we're going to give him a rock that looks like that. And we're going to control whether the rock's there or not. Or we're going to control whether the EMF is there or not. And we're going to ask him to ding it every time correctly. He won't be Jack correct even 10% of the time.
Guarantee you, I've done it. You don't think I've bought all these things? You don't think that's why I have somewhat, at times, of a disgusted edge? This stuff adds up. With EMF, there's always some physicist somewhere, locked away in a room, far away, usually Siberia, in the gulag. And he discovered it and they threw him away. But the guy that sells you the solution, he's undercover. He broke away. He's got it going on. And you fall for it. And then swear by it. Or buy it because your friend swears by it. Don't do this. Don't do this. So what are we going to do about EMF? The first thing you're going to do is have the experience of EMF, which, as I said, I don't think you have to do anything. Then you're going to have the experience of getting it out of your body. So what I want you to do is get on that computer for a good 40 or 50 hours 1 week. Yeah, right. You got to do that. Or do the test I'm going to suggest you do after you've traveled. And I want you to take Premier Research Labs clay. Premier Research Lab is a company that makes very good supplements, etc. And what I want you to do is purchase from that company, Premier Research Labs, the clay. It's called Medi Magma Clay. Now it's called Med Body Pack. They've always got a different type of clay. They play around with the colors, the ingredients. But the magma clay that you put on your body, not the one you swallow. And what I want you to do is get all amped up on radiation. Try it after you take a jet. Or a heavy week on the computer. Or a heavy week on the cell phone. You know what I'm talking about. And then I want you to go to a sea cave. Something beautiful. And I want you to do it on a sunny day. In the morning, early. Just as the sun's coming up. You don't have to go in the water. You got to put your feet in the water, your hands in the water. A foot of water, 2 feet of water at the clean ocean. You may have to travel to the clean ocean. And once you roll your body in the water, once your bare feet touch the sand, go in the ocean and begin the extraction of the radiation waves. You will feel your body sedate. You'll feel something. You know what you're going to call it? You're going to call it, well, of course, I'm at the beach. It's not what I mean. You're going to feel the sharp contrast between the way you felt and the way you feel. And then I want you to put that clay on. I want you to put it on your hands, mix it with water, put it on your hands, put it on your feet, maybe put it on your neck, and just bake in the morning sun. Dry it in the morning sun, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, then go into the ocean and rinse it off. Stretch a little. The whole thing will take you half an hour. And what you're going to find is that you're going to feel something funny. You're going to feel like that microwave of a jet engine, like that microwave of a computer, like that microwave of a cell phone, and all it vexes you, irritates you, gets sucked out of your body. Now that's your reference point. And if you can't get to the beach every day, you have a reference point to build on. So if somebody comes along with a Q-link, or somebody says put a couple of rocks in the house, you have a real measure point. Otherwise, you don't know. See, this has been the perennial issue with natural medicine. We don't have technologies to measure the changes. Technology is a bad word. We do have the senses, but extracting reality from your senses is its own art and science. Anybody can say, I feel different. The difference between that and the truth is up for grabs. And that's the problem when you don't have a technology. This is where science cracked a hole in the weak link. Because the senses were skewed, science was birthed. Because the senses were skewed, science was birthed. But if the senses are accurate, science doesn't have the same, it doesn't have the same birth, B-E-R-T-H. It doesn't have the same meaning. It doesn't hold as much water. You know why? The senses are always ahead of science. Newton knew this. It's why he was an alchemist. Da Vinci was an alchemist. All these guys at the high end of science are always alchemists because they have to use their senses to guide them. At least, in the least, their senses are in reciprocity with their intuitive. Their senses are in reciprocity with their analytic mind. Reason does not get you there. Reason's a piece of it. Reason may be the engine, it ain't the wheels. So you have to sense. You have to sense the benefit of going to the beach and doing what I said. And if you do it, you'll tell me. You'll say, I get it. Now I know what I was holding, and now I know what I needed to let go. My 50 laws are all about this. Using the senses to measure the efficacy of your investment in your health. Because how much time do you have? And what are the concerns? Time and money and energy. And if we don't have a way to determine progress along the way, we're going to go nowhere. We're going to spin in the labyrinth. And this is the whole point of my show. All right. That's 60 minutes. I'm going to be talking to you about a website pretty soon. Not a website, a webinar pretty soon. In my large diversity of listeners has come the repeated request to put my classes on DVD, on CD, this kind of thing. I want to do a webinar. I want to form a health club. I want 15 to 20 people, preferably from out of Southern California. Like you're in another state. And I want to create communion. I want to create a group. I want to create a chat room. I want to create guidance. I want to put videos on the website for those of you in the club. And you have to meet the requirements, which means you have to come to the class. Once a month, there'll be a class. And all of the 15 or 20 people will be present. We're going to use technology to connect people under guidance to address your health. If you address your health and your head is on straight, addressing health will address your health concern. Very different concept. But it's what works. The other ones don't work. It's the only reason I do this. I didn't ever see the other way work. You don't show up with a list of your concerns. Pick the ones that are most important to you and have somebody just pick them out of the barrel and address them in a specific way. You don't do that. It doesn't work. You may get a little help, but after a few months, 6 months, you're done. This show, all 451 shows, straighttalk.cc, they offer you a better way. That'll be up soon. I'm doing a class here at the office January 26th. We're going to get into stem cells, bone marrow, which is where stem cells are from, the pineal, the hypothalamus, the connection between the two. Again, you can't just talk bone marrow. You got to talk bone marrow, stem cells, hypothalamus, pineal. You got to hook up the big centers. That's where the magic is. The magic is in connecting the dots. God bless you. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.